Our first scripture reading this morning is from the second chapter of Jeremiah, verses 4 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they stayed so far away from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord, who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines and a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no travels and no one lives. I brought you into this fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce, but you came and defied my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priest did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and following a worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has been anything like this. Has a nation ever exchanged its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people are committed to two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns, and cannot hold water. Our second scripture reading today is from Luke 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of the honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all our guests. For all those who exalted themselves will be humbled, and those who humbled themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back and you will be repaid. But when you have a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteousness. May God bless these words to our hearts and minds, for these are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray this morning. Lord, we await your messages for us today. What would we do to be more like your Son, Jesus? Who should we see on our path today? How can we recenter and prioritize your creation? Lord, we are listening. Come and speak to us. Amen. Well, last week we read from the scripture from the Gospel of Luke. We read chapter 12. And it recounted Jesus' healing of the woman in the temple on Shabbat, or this Jewish Sabbath, a day when no work should be done. And we chatted a bit about the open-ended discussions and questions and mysteries that were present in this story. Why did Jesus choose to heal on the Sabbath? Why did he heal right in front of the temple elders? Why did he pick this woman? Why didn't he say, psst, meet me 2 days from now? Maybe when we ask those questions, we begin to see facets of the story that aren't always obvious to us on the first reading. And then sometimes I think when we start asking questions, we ask too many questions and we want too many details and we want to know too much about it. And maybe it's an easier message than we thought last week. Maybe the message in that scripture was truly when you encounter someone who needs care, care for them. Don't let a human rule or a human construct stop you. Jesus didn't. Just reach out. Walk with them. Assist them if you can. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 22 when he was asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" He replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So in today's reading that Jean read from Jeremiah, grumpy bad news Jeremiah, he always was the bad news prophet. He reminds us that we are to be focused not on the past, not on the future, but in what we are encountering today in the present. We aren't supposed to be focused on other idols or other things to drive and prioritize our actions. And you know, it's kind of hard today because in our environment today, technology and economics push us in the pursuit of many things that don't encourage us to lead the life of love that Jesus asked us to lead. You know, when you scroll through Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, you're never sure where that information you're reading is coming from. You're never sure how many hours this scrolling is going to eat up. Barely coming up for air sometimes to read a book or a newspaper or engage in the people with the people around us. We're often led to information and places and things that rarely speak of justice or love and quite honestly, may not even be true. This little device, if I pick it up instead of a book, I can putter on it for hours, and I will have accomplished. Well, maybe, you know, 10 games of Candy Crush and 4 games of Scrabble and a little bit of Sudoku. Maybe I chatted with somebody on Facebook a little bit, but I haven't really accomplished much. And so I'm trying to get better about just not picking it up. Pick up the book, go outside, do something else. Don't pick it up. Because the minute I pick it up, I'm in that pool for a while. As the Reverend Anathea Portier Young paraphrases Jeremiah, if we pursue vanity, we become vain. If we pursue what is empty, we become empty. And if we pursue darkness, we are assimilated into the darkness. What we pursue, what we have as ambitions, what we acquiesce to lead us away from our focus on the love of God. You see, God is willing to struggle with us. We don't always make the best choices, but we're human. That's why we're not God. All God asks is that we try again. Try to be a little more like Jesus the next time. Jeremiah warns that this is the only way we will survive and succeed. We need to remember that God's creation is like living water. And again, Pastor Portia Young would describe it this way. Living water rains, runs, flows, swirls. It washes away impurity. It transports nutrients. It constitutes leaf and stem, blood and bone. Where water flows, life is abundant. Where water stagnates, disease takes hold. Where there is no water, life cannot begin. You see, God is like water. God has properties and movements not controlled by us. And so when we try to put God in a box, a definition, or in an idol, we're like that human-made cistern, which will eventually spring a leak. We cannot hold the vastness of God in our definitions, in our idols, in our cisterns, because we have human imperfections. That's what Jeremiah was trying to share with us. The only way to understand God is to engage in the vastness, the vast greatness that is God and God's creation. In the reading from Luke, we heard more about the wedding feast. And Jesus reminds the guests not to choose the best seat. Leave that for another. He also said to the one who invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid, because the resurrection is about righteousness. You see, the Roman Empire believed in reciprocity, capitalistic, value-centered transactions. And so this kind of teaching about kindness and sharing probably wouldn't have gone over all that well with the authorities. Luke is signaling that in the divine realm brought into being by the actions of Jesus, that would dismantle some of the social structures that they had. And he reminds them that a reward awaits for those who live by the teachings of the gospel, by the teachings of love and inclusivity and mercy and hope, forgiveness and faithfulness. Let me share an example. When I was married to the Navy, I spent most of my time as the naval ombudsman for our crew and for the crew's families. So what this meant was that if there were issues or problems and their husband was out to sea, my phone was the first phone to ring. One of the key responsibilities of the ombudsman is to organize the wives so that during deployment, if something would happen aboard the submarine, God forbid it would sink, there was a fire, there was an electrical issue, there was some emergency on that submarine, one of my responsibilities was to be able to bring every family to the base and sequester them behind the locked gates because of the top secret nature of what those submarines did. So I had to know where everybody was all the time. That was usually about 80 families. And it was a very interesting job. But in addition, we also set up activities during the crew was out to sea during the deployment so that the families would always have a family. They would always have a crew family. We had activities for the wives. We had a newsletter. We had activities for the kids. And we planned all of that so that we were constantly together, which also helped with that communication flow. And one of the first things that I would always do when I brought a new crew of wives together was I would say to them, you know, get in a line by rank. Would you please? Would everybody just get in a line by rank? And so they would spend, I'd let them spend 20 minutes or so. And they would, well, I don't know. My husband's been a machinist mate since 1999. Well, mine's been one since 1998 in December. Okay, well, then you go first and I'll go behind you. And they would spend this time getting all sorted out. And then I would look at them and I would say, Now that you've completed this test, let me remind you, you carry no rank. Your husband carries the rank. You are part of a family. You are part of a community. You are part of a team of people who are going to care for one another as we go out to sea, as they go out to sea. And it doesn't matter what their rank is or what they wear on their shoulders or their uniform, because we are going to take care of one another. And after a few red cheeks and a little bit of coughing, the stage would be set for a good cruise. Because they would realize just how important their ship family was. And that they were all going to go through something while that ship was deployed. And they were all going to need some kind of help or be able to give some kind of help. But that we were going to walk through it together. And that's what Jesus is telling us. That is what the gospel is telling us. Is that it's what Jeremiah is trying to get across to the folks that he's talking to in Judah. We're all on this cruise together, folks. All of us. Every single one of us. Doesn't matter. Does not matter whether we're rich or we're poor or we're tall or we're short or we're big or we're little or we're male or we're female or we're some other gender or we're some other. It doesn't matter. We're all just cruising together. And God expects us to watch out for one another. We remember from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for their kingdom is in heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when ye shall revile you and persecute you and speak all that is evil against you untruly for my sake. Be glad and rejoice. For your reward is very great in heaven. Amen."